I am in the significant minority.
I already know what you're going to say.
Yeah, I don't like the Thin Mints. I don't like mint chocolate on any level. It is an abomination known to man. But I want my fresh breath over here, and I want my sweet indulgent over here, and I do not want them to mix.
Not even ice cream. In no world should they ever exist.
When I build my own universe, there will be no such thing, if that makes any sense. The world will shut down and my freezer will be completely full of mint chocolate chip ice cream, and I will never touch it. All right, episode 145. We're back, Rob, with some sparkling fresh water. What are we drinking?
145. This is Good and Gather purified drinking water.
Good and Gather. That
Targets. I think this is Targets.
Targets brand. Good and Gather. Yeah. Up and Up is CVS, I believe. Good and Gather. There's all sorts of private label brands. We work on a lot of private label brands. It's fun. So, in my Instagram feed recently, I've been getting a lot of, and I don't know how this happened. A guy going into Costco and then like busting the Kirkland signature brand of being that it's the well-known manufacturer, thinking that he's like, oh, surprise, the Kirkland brand of coffee is really Starbucks coffee. And I'm wondering, like, A, why is it in my Instagram feed? But also B, do people not realize that? You know what I mean? Like, do people really think that?
People think that.
Is that? Okay. All right. I guess it's just because we're in the biz and we do so much packaging, we work with so many CPG, like we just kind of know how manufacturing works and everything, you know?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely are a percentage of the population that knows that, but I'd say the vast majority. I mean, cause remember it always used to be like, I remember first hearing about that when it was like vodka and I was like, oh, well, Stoli is really Kettle One or you know, or the dog food is the dog food. But I think, we're certainly more,
I don't know. I mean, do people think that Girl Scouts make Girl Scout cookies? I mean, I'm just jaded, I guess, in that respect, you know? So I do know who makes Girl Scout cookies.
You're suggesting they don't?
You're not allowed to reveal that. That is like one of the key
Scouts honor.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, you know, so I will not be revealing who manufactures Girl Scout cookies, but I will say, my data is probably 15 years old at the soonest. You know what I mean? So it could have changed in the last decade or two, you know?
Those girls make a good cookie. What's your favorite?
What's it called? Samoa? Is that the one?
Plastic. That's the one with the caramel and the chocolate drizzle and the coconut.
Yes, it's got the coconut. The backup is going to be Tagalong, which is the peanut butter. It's the shortbread, I believe, peanut butter, and then all dipped in chocolate, right?
It's got a lot of peanut butter in it. It's a thick cookie.
I want it to be a Reese's kind of peanut butter, but it is not a Reese's peanut butter. It's its own kind of vibe, you know? So I am in the significant minority.
I already know what you're going to say.
Yeah, I don't like the Thin Mints. I don't like mint chocolate on any level. It is an abomination known to man. I want my fresh breath over here, and I want my sweet indulgent over here, and I do not want them to mix.
Not even ice cream. In no world should they ever exist.
When I build my own universe, there will be no such thing, if that makes any sense. The world will shut down, and my freezer will be completely full of mint chocolate chip ice cream, and I will never touch it. I will probably starve out in the street.
Now, do you freeze your Samoas? A lot of people do that.
No, but that's an interesting idea. There is an interesting trend of freezing a lot of things. Like you freeze grapes now and you put some like stevia on it, and that, like, you freeze blueberries and those taste like chocolate chips. Have you seen all this? Like you freeze a bunch of stuff and it kind of tastes differently.
Yeah, people have been freezing grapes forever. I'm not a big, it doesn't really do anything for me.
You love mint chocolate chip though. That's a jam for you. You're okay with that.
Yeah, I'm pro mint chocolate chip.
I know that I am in the solid, I don't know, what am I in the reverse 1%. I mean, everyone loves mint chocolate chip, and I am one of the few that does not like, you know, that it's like licorice, sick. Like the few, the proud, but I'm like the reverse licorice, you know? So,
yeah.
Anyway, I don't know how to pivot from here to what today's topic was, because I believe we were going to fire back up our, you know, drive along design, right? Drive along brand development and things like that, right?
Let's do it. The Atlanta Cup.
Cup. When last we all gathered together, it was, hey, let's take a look at some brand platforms. Let's take a look at some logos. Let's take a look at some stuff. Do we reveal which one they went with? No, we didn't. Okay.
We did not.
All right. I'm going to share my screen and it is going to reveal.
Yeah.
Reveal which one.
Foreshadowing. They picked one.
Yeah, they did pick one. So boom. They ended up picking the Fiery Peach. Peach is the one we went with. So yeah, I mean, let's just jump right into it, I guess, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Atlanta Cup 2025, badass, you know? It's a good, interesting mix of a very clean, modern, timeless logo file juxtaposed with this really cool, aggressive might not be the right word, but like, you know, sort of interesting halftone photography with some woodblock type and some, you know, I think, you know, interesting sort of ready to be animated, stop motion-y, kind of clunky, sort of interesting, fun design. It's very different. You know, one of the things they mentioned was they want to build IP. They want to do something different, but it's also ties into Atlanta with the Fiery Peach, which is cool. So it's a really, really fun kind of interesting design, right? And design platform, right? So from there, you know, we started, this is what we're looking at right now is basically the style guide. And then we've got some creative examples here we can show you guys at the end, but kind of what the primary mark looks like and then how you can, sort of work with the crest, right? The crest can be timeless, right? Agnostic of the date, or we can put in the year's tournament, right? In this instance, obviously 2025, right? And then the modular nature of, hey, do tone on tone, do high contrast, do black on peach or, you know, white on peach or black, you know, like however it works. I think it's pretty interesting, you know? So, Rob, I'm just going to keep rocking through this unless you want me to, from there, yeah, I mean, kind of what I just talked about, I guess, you know, sort of the full logo with the type, you know, pretty modular in that it can work, the crest can work with the type, or you could just do the type only, right? Or you can just do the crest only. I imagine like kick-ass tennis balls with just the crest on it, you know? So, and like in hats, merch, things like that, right?
Now, do you prefer, let me ask you a question. Do you prefer it with the date or without the date, or does it completely depend on the use, right? So like,
great question. Merch,
like, do you want universally, would you pick one of those over the other or by usage?
Great question. I think that I would probably utilize the dated one, on merch, on tennis balls, on hats, on things, right? Because that does create, you know, a limited window.
Drive sales is what it does.
I was trying to be kind. You know, it's like, you know, the Peachtree Road Race t-shirt changes every year, right? And it's a badge of honor to have that different design, everything. I mean, they could do a generic, you know, shirt that is, you know, for all of, you know, all races or whatever like that, but it's more interesting to have it dated, you know?
Well, I mean, I think part of our job is to help drive merch sales.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is. So
absolutely.
Yeah. I like it with the date. I like it with the date on it.
Yeah. I think the date is cool. I think there are instances there may be timeless needs for potentially signage or things that you might invest significant money into where you would use just the crest only. Right. But to me, I think you're using it with the date, you know, repeatedly.
I think there's use for both, right? So like if I were to buy a hat.
Yeah.
I would want it without the date. Because it's, you know, I'm not going to wear a hat for a year and then update my hat. Like Atlanta, like I think about Atlanta United. Like I'm going to wear the same Atlanta United hat.
Yeah.
But then I'm going to buy the jersey every year, right?
It's
got the star every year. That's funny. No, but it's got the new kit every year and things like that. So I think it's a good balance.
I agree. So from there, color breakdowns, you know, sometimes it's nice from a design perspective to sort of give the colors a name, right? Just as we're sending around brand guidelines and different vendors and things like that, right? So light peach, fiery peach, and then stone in there, which is kind of fun. So it's sort of that tone on tone, sort of light gray. Always good to show people how you build the different graphics. I mean, this is going to be sent to different vendors to build different pieces of signage or social media advertising or whatever the case may be, right? So just kind of a quick breakdown on, you know, different graphic elements and, you know, and then from there, typography, right? So we do have this very interesting Adobe font, HVD Rowdy. and you know, using that as kind of headlines. But you definitely need mission critical information to be legible to a certain extent, right? So nice, some nice bold, simplified sans serif type below. And then inside the brand guidelines, we did share, again, we're running at this thing as fast as humanly possible. So yeah, some of the in development concept creative, right? Just to show how some of these things can be compiled, right? Different messaging, you know, with the date for tickets, you know, one night only, call to action, things like that. I think the one on the left is a little bit more appropriate for external utilization, and maybe the one on the right is more like in arena kind of utilization, right? It's because there's less information, things like that. But again, this is kind of just the purpose here is just to kind of show texturally, graphically, how this brand can kind of come together, the mix of the clean and the modern with kind of the little wacky, crazy, zany stuff, which is fun. So, and that's it. So super quick brand standards, which I think is pretty fun. Then because we were rocking and rolling, it'd pull up some additional pieces of creative that was done after the brand standards were developed, right? So sort of some event posters. These have been repurposed into email blasts, right? To Alta members, USTA members, different sort of existing tennis groups and things like that, right? So we developed a whole series of pieces of creative for that. So tennis is back in the A, which is pretty cool. From there, again, you can see kind of pulled from what the brand standards were developed for, you know, just kind of leaning in on the date, which is pretty, kind of interesting, and the players, right? And then a little game set Atlanta, having some fun with some tennis terminology, right? And then we also did, again, just for part of the media kit development, we did player specific, just sort of pieces of creative, right? So we've got Ben Shelton, Nick Kyrgios here, which is pretty fun. Sabalenka, who just won the US Open, I believe. So back-to-back defending champion, world's number one, which is pretty badass that she's coming to Atlanta. And then Naomi Osaka's piece of creative. So that is literally where we're at. I mean, podcasting and designing at the same time, right? I mean, taking the ride with us, which is pretty fun. So,
yeah, I think also a couple things to note, given the given the short timeline, this is what we would call a brand guidelines light, right? I mean,
yeah.
Right. So this brand guidelines, while it's very informative, it's a pretty succinct document, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty succinct.
Agreed.
Oftentimes when we do brand guidelines for other clients, Mars is the one that I think of, but I mean, they can get to be over 100 pages, right? Yep. It was super just intense. So this was kind of a style guide light, we'll call it.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's really more, it's got the mechanical needs for vendors, for colors, for embroidery, for printing, right, for things like that. But then the rest of it's just kind of a go by for, hey, here's kind of how you build, you know what I mean? And sort of have fun with it. But to your point, like when we build packaging brand guidelines, I mean, it is a full front panel, back panel. And then depending, you mentioned Mars, you know, I mean, there were over 200 SKUs for that brand, right? So it's 50-pound bags all the way down to teeny little packages, right? And everything in between, right? So the breakdown on how that brand is applied to all the different manufacturers was tremendously detailed. And then also, too, that went all over the world.
I mean, well, yeah, that's manufacturing, a massive global project.
Yeah. So
I think the design of this one also, too, what's smart about it is the design and kind of that aggressive sort of rough type nature and the layout, it allows people a little bit of flexibility to have fun with it and kind of color outside the lines, right?
Yeah.
You know, okay. And I think that's fine. So I think the design allows for that. The other thing too that's interesting, peek behind the curtain, is, you know, all this again was done in such a quick time frame that we were only given a couple of images. Was it one or two images of each?
We have one image of each player that is officially licensed and sanctioned for use.
Right. So. Right. And I don't, obviously we're not in the ins and outs of that deal, but why we only got one image, I don't know, but one image of each. So
correct.
Again, it's kind of, you have to work with what you're given. In this case, not a lot. I think we did a really good job of utilizing those images to the best of anyone's ability, really. Because there's really only one where he's actually swinging a racket. I think three of them are just,
Sabalenka's holding a racket, but Nick is actually kind of getting ready to do something. The other two, you know, three of them are kind of pumping their fist and one of them's got a racket to a certain extent, you know?
So,
and then, for all the designers and other sort of art directors and creatives out there listening, you know, it's like, you can't flip this stuff either. I mean, sometimes you can flip it and get away with it, right? In terms of like, you know, the actual image itself is what I mean by flipping. But like, Sabalenka's got a very specific tattoo on a very specific arm, right? So you can't go, oh, my tattoo suddenly jumped to my other arm, that type of thing, right? Or you're wearing a Nike hat. I mean, I guess you could flip the Nike logo, but like the Nike logo is not flipped, you know? Or we'd have to Photoshop it back and things like that, right? So there is an art to compositionally too. If everybody's looking one way or looking the other way, or how do we kind of make it? I think to your point about the design, you know, you can, you have a little bit more freedom, right? To be able to get them in the corners of layouts or all composited together and things like that. Right. We ended up having to do, I mean, Ticketmaster graphics, building the Atlanta Cup website, things like that. Right. You have to show all four players together. Right. So creating that halftone image of the four players that are all photographed differently, all photographed from different angles, differently, you know, like I think that the design platform that has been created allows for a little bit more flexibility. It was surprising, even though it's only four people, it actually is surprisingly challenging to get that collage to work, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been an interesting challenge.
And worth noting, TheAtlantaCup.com is live. I mean, we got the site up and actually selling tickets.
So I think by the time,
I think it is right now.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable to say by the time this podcast is out, I mean, the website will have been live for a while, and the event's on Ticketmaster right now. I mean, you can definitely buy tickets, you know, so that's pretty interesting. So
yeah, that's pretty I think from start to live website selling tickets was like 10 days.
Don't say it out loud, Rob, because we don't want clients to have this level of expectation.
Oh no, this comes with a price. Let's make that clear. There are rough charges. Is that 10 days?
I mean, it's basically project start to website launch in 10 days. Buy tickets. You know, buy tickets. Use promo code.
It's a very simple, basic site, but it literally drives to Ticketmaster. But that said, pretty impressive to get it up and rocking that live. So maybe we'll have a ticket update, ticket sale update next podcast. We'll see.
Well, I mean, hey, hopefully this baby sells out quick. You know,
I know.
But yeah, I'd be curious to get everybody. You know, I mean, when this thing hits. The YouTubes and everything else, I'd be wondering what the comments might be like or what solicitations we might get in regards to like, oh, I should have picked number three, or I like the fiery peach, or whatever, you know what I mean? Or things like that. So it's kind of fun to share in an open forum kind of where we're at with everything. It's terrifying, but also pretty cool. So,
and what are we doing? Tell our fans what we're doing next. What are we doing next on the project?
We mentioned merchandise, right? So merch is right around the corner, because the lead times, the event's in December, the lead times on merch, you know, I mean, that's contingent by vendor, right? And how you're doing it. Also, there's no time for drop shipping from foreign countries and the state of the world aside, you know, forget about that. It's just the timing, right? So we're going to have to figure out what the merch situation will be. And, you know, I think from there, we might go to in arena event signage and things like that. And then as sponsors come, I mean, needs are going to keep kind of happening and adding and things like that. You know what I mean? So, so we'll see where this takes us next. So it's going to be interesting, to say the least. So it's been fun.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah. Well,
good stuff. We better stop this podcast so we can get back to work on it.
Seriously. If they're watching, they're like, why aren't you working on our stuff right now? So, all right. Well, where can everybody find us, Rob?
You can find us, of course, at mocktheagency.com and track us down on the socials. It's pretty easy to do.
Sweet. All right. Thanks. All right. We'll see you for 146. Where does TAC take us next, right?